Hey everybody, welcome to the Upheaval to Uplevel interview series. So as you know, our lives, our relationships, our world are in more upheaval than ever. And I've come to realize that it's a normal part of life that allows the old to be broken apart so we can restructure into new, different, better, more authentic. So in this interview series, I'm talking with people who have been through this process of what I call upheaval to uplevel. So today I have with me Carrie Hummingbird. She is a life catalyst, energy medicine practitioner, award-winning author, and inspirational speaker. She has over 20 years of experience in leading by inspiration and a special passion for empowering women to be the artists of their lives. She is certified in a number of spiritual and energy programs, and her 2015 book, From We to Me, Emerging Self After Divorce, reached the number 16 in the divorce category on Amazon within its first week of being published. On a personal note, Carrie lives with the love of her life, his two children, and her two teenage sons in the Austin area. She works with clients around the world. So the title we've given her talk is Burning Down the Forest of Your Life and Letting It Grow Back Authentically. And I imagine there's some of you as listeners who can relate to that. I'm really interested in hearing about it. So welcome, Carrie. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've talked, and a lot of things have happened in your life. So let's just jump in with this, the nature of your upheaval, because I want to learn about it, what it was like for you, what turned it around, what you got out of it, learned from it, and what things are going on for you now. So tell me about this upheaval of yours.
Absolutely. So I think it was 6 years ago, and I was at the end of my 20-year relationship, and it was a very dark, dismal place for me. I was in a marriage that there was a lot of judgment. You know, I felt judged. I felt I wasn't good enough. I felt he didn't desire me, or I could only be desired in a certain way. I remember wanting to do my art. I really had a passion for my art, and I wanted to do my art, and he just wanted me to kind of, you know, bring in money as a consultant, and, you know, I felt like everything that was about me, like about my passion, my being, was just not respected or honored, and was like actually diminished, downplayed, criticized, you know, kind of get me to stop doing the things I wanted to do the things he wanted me to do. And there was even, like, there had been years where we just were not connecting sexually either, just where he just wasn't attracted to me because I was overweight, because I put on a lot of weight, you know. And I think a lot of us do that. We put on a lot of weight to protect ourselves, kind of insulate ourselves, you know, make ourselves less attractive, you know, so we can be left alone in our marriage. I'd gone up and down several times. I was like at 205 pounds when we moved to Texas in 2005. And the goal of moving out here was for me, the only goal he had for me was for me to get in shape so I could look good again, so he could be attracted to me, and that I could, you know, watch the kids.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of inauthenticity, that you were forced to live a life that wasn't really you.
Absolutely. I was, you know, and I started getting in shape. You know, I started, you know, then it was like the monitoring of all the things I was eating. Like, are you going to eat that? Are you going to, you know, you could lose some more weight. So I started running. I started, to get it back in shape, I started running. I trained for a half marathon, and that was the beginning of me starting to find myself again, because I had all this time running and lots of time to think. Training for a half marathon is a lot of running.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And, you know, so when you're out there on the running that long, and then later I trained for a marathon, and you know, it does a couple of things. What it does is it gives you a lot of time to think. And the other thing it does is it moves a lot of the stuck energy out of the way so that you can
right.
start to see how you're blocking yourself or the bad feelings you have about yourself. And, you know, as my body was improving in appearance, another thing happened, which is I started noticing that men were attracted to me. And I was getting positive attention from outside of my marriage. I was getting a lot of criticism from inside my marriage. But from outside my marriage, I was getting a lot of positive attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that. I wanted to feel good about myself.
Well, sure.
You know, and that led to, predictably, extramarital affairs.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, you know, at the end of my marriage, I was in a lot of self-judgment. I was realizing that I had a lot of self-loathing. I was looking myself in the mirror and just crying and saying, I know you're a good person in there somewhere. There's some part of you that's a good person. And you're going to find it again.
Yeah.
And kind of like that, you know, that eat, pray, love moment on the floor. You know, like, please help me. I'm finally asking for help.
Yeah, that, I don't know if it was as deep for you, but some folks call that the dark night of the soul, which I have had also.
Yeah, I would characterize it that way. For years
yeah.
it went on.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Like the dark year of the soul. Eek.
Gah. And, you know, so, I mean, that led me to really a big spiritual awakening in that, in one of those moments, several of those moments, actually, I remember crying and just being so sad and desperate and saying, please help me. You know, I never went to church, so I didn't have, like, some kind of built-in formula for connecting with God. You know, I wasn't trained that, and so I had to
right.
find that myself, and I just remember being like, God, please help me, and then the tears would stop.
Hmm.
Like, it was amazing. It was just like, boom, not crying anymore.
Wow. So you kind of, like, gave away your burden or responsibility for your burden, and something lifted is what it sounds like.
Well, and I wouldn't say that I gave away my responsibility for my burden. I would say that an opening was made. It was like I realized I had this sort of experience of maybe there is something trying to help me that I'm not letting help me.
Oh, nice.
And maybe I need to change things. And I started opening to that, and I started getting more confidence in myself. It's so funny because simultaneously, while I'm sort of destroying my life by having extramarital affairs, I'm also like, can't stop doing it because it's the only thing that's making me feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
You know,
and sure.
I think a lot of us get caught in that trap, you know, that when the love is outside of yourself and you're starving inside, you'll do almost anything to get the love.
Right. It's a survival at that point.
So we, what ended up happening is that I finally got this vision of the end of the rope. And, you know, they always say that was the end of the rope and I was just done. And I actually saw the end of the rope in my mind's eye. And it was like, there it went. It just flung away from me into the void. And I thought, well, that was the end of the rope. I'm done. And this incredible calm came over me like, you can let this go. This marriage needs to go. And you need to step into the void, into what you don't know. And then I had a conversation with my ex-husband about a week later, and I said, this is over for me. I can't do this anymore. And for a long time after that, you know, I had this sort of rebellious teenager phase where I just did whatever I wanted to and ate chocolate cake and pizza and drank a lot of wine in my little house.
Yeah. I get it. Totally. It's like free at last. I'm going to do whatever I damn well please.
Because I was so sick of him telling me you shouldn't have that cake or you shouldn't have that second glass of wine or you shouldn't, you know, you're, you know, criticizing my figure, criticizing me. And I had like, I don't know, 10 different guys on speed, you know, speed dial on text. And it was about 6 months of that until I finally opened to get some healing. And that's really when things started really, really changing for me. I got a spiritual teacher and that opened a lot of doors for me, a lot of awarenesses. And it's been a journey. You know, it was a really big journey, was processing all of those mixed up, jumbled feelings. Because I had a lot of self-judgment. I had a lot of self-judgment for failing at my marriage, for cheating, for not being good enough, for not loving myself. You know, I mean, the list could go on. I just had so much self-judgment. And I think the biggest thing was just trusting the process of unfolding. And the reason I wanted to name this talk what I did was because about a year ago, I was in a spiritual retreat and somebody read this poem. And I can't remember the author of the poem. I apologize to the listeners. But there's one part of the poem that talks about how in order to grow a life that's authentic, you've got to be like a forest. You've got to burn the forest down. Because somehow that's how all the potential is unlocked, is by the destruction. And I think as women, we're so afraid of destroying things, you know, we're afraid of that energy of destruction. But that powerful energy is what liberates you to step out of all the things you think you should be, that people have told you to be, that you've been trying to pretend to be, that you're trying to fill everybody's expectations. And the destructive energy of fire, of like just this idea of like, I'm just going to burn the whole thing down and start over and see what comes naturally for me. Who am I? What do I really want? What really makes me happy?
Yeah. Those are great questions. So tell me about the energy of burning down. What did that look like for you? Did it something you allowed or was it something you did?
I began a process. I mean, I think the first burning down was leaving my marriage, right? It's just saying, okay, this doesn't work for me anymore. I'm done. Bye-bye. I'm out of here. Yeah. And it just, that kicked it off, but it continued. And actually, when I found my first teacher, I began this process of spiritual inquiry where I started becoming aware, and I've studied with the four agreements and teachers that teach the four agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, and that path is all about awareness. It's about becoming very aware of the things you're just doing unconsciously in your life. The things that you just do because you have this feeling, well, that's, I'm doing that because I should do that. And all the roles that you fill in your life, like where, you know, what does the role mean? Like, what does mother mean? What does wife mean? What does that even mean? And we've attached meanings to all these things. And in order to be free, you've got to decide to burn all that down and be willing to stand in your truth, which means you're going to disappoint some people.
Right. Well, and there's some letting go. I'm sensing some grieving as you let go of old roles and old ideas. And sort of a breakdown of a belief scaffolding, I guess I would say, something that gives shape and form. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And anger, you know, it's willing to be angry. Willing to feel anger and to let it flow through you. It's a powerful feeling.
Right, which we as women put off a lot, don't allow ourselves. It's not ladylike.
Yeah, well, you know, and along the way, my mentor, Heather Ashimara, taught me how to roar like a lion. It's like, you know, don't put words to it. You know, that's called gossip. But you can roar the energy out. You can just be like the most ferocious lion, you know, and just roar it out when you're pissed off. And just acknowledge, I am angry. Like, name the emotion. I am angry. I am feeling sad. I am feeling guilty. I am feeling this. Mm-hmm. And then let it go.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm taking it all in. There's so many parts of what you're saying that are so right for me right now and different things that I'm going through. I'm just taking it in.
It's a process of being willing to be honest with yourself. That's really what it comes down to, is to, as women, I really feel this. It's like, stop being what you think you should be because other people expect it, or because our society says, or because. And really be brave enough to be who you really are. Follow your own trust your intuition. I mean, do we even know how to listen to ourselves? We forgot how.
Yeah. Yeah, surely. Well, we're so busy listening to all the other voices, it drowns out that wise voice within.
And so I feel like burning down the forest of your life is like the divine feminine coming through. And it's a destructive force, but it's a force of creation at the same time. So, you know, in order to create, you've got to be willing to be messy. You've got to be willing to get paint on the floor, you know. And,
I love that.
Brush is going to slap it up against the wall and you're going to make a mess on your nice manicured wall. You know, you've got to be willing to break some glass.
Yeah. I liken it sometimes to cleaning out a closet. You kind of have to pull everything out and make a huge mess on the floor to pick and choose what gets put away and what gets thrown away.
Exactly. And we can't, you know, if we are afraid of change, the saddest part of that is living a life that isn't authentic. And that's the part that, you know, because of fear that, you know, what's the underlying fear? The underlying fear is if I really follow my heart and I live authentically, I might find out I'm not good enough. That's the fear. I might find out I'm not worthy of love as I truly am.
Right. Yeah. If I'm not being what everybody else gives me love for being, putting on different masks and different personas. I get that. Just being who I am. I remember hearing a statement one time that God is the same everywhere God goes. And at that point in my life, I had been putting on a different face to all kinds of different people. And I was just, it was just incredulous that I could be one person in the face of everyone. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, like now I'm the same person everywhere I go.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. What a delight. How freeing is that?
It's so freeing, but people are terrified of it. I mean, and, you know, one of the things I really help my clients with is, like, not being afraid to be with the shadows within themselves. It's like the first thing we want to do is push it down and put a smile on. It's like, it's so fake, though. I mean, we've even experienced it ourselves. We've certainly seen somebody out there who's, like, wearing that really tight smile. Mm-hmm. Like everything's fine. It's all fine. Everything's good. And it's such a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to tell the truth.
Yeah.
It's really time to tell the truth to ourselves first. And so burning down the forest of my life, that was my way of telling the truth to myself. However perfect people think my marriage is, it doesn't make me feel good. I don't feel good. I don't love myself. This is hard. It's not, I'm not getting any better. I'm getting worse. I'm acting out. I've got all these, you know, horrible feelings, and I need to love myself. And how do I do that? Well, I've got to stop being what everybody else, or, you know, and here's the kicker, what I think everybody else wants me to be. Because part of that's not, a lot of that's just a lie. You're just lying to yourself. Like, you're being something that somebody, you think somebody else wants you to be, and it's, you made the whole thing up.
I know, that's a horrible realization, isn't it? Oh my God, I'm doing this to myself.
Yeah, and it's like you just lied. You just made the whole story. You're the one who created the story, and you know. So how did I grow my life back? I love this image of Michelangelo said that the way he painted his statues, or the way he carved his statues, is he just carved away what was not the statue.
Right. He'd see the image in the stone and chip away what didn't belong there.
Exactly. And it's the same with personal transformation work. It's the same thing. You don't be afraid of losing what's not you, because whatever's you is going to stay. And then once I realized that, I became fearless with my transformation, because I thought, you know, because I have techniques that I do that I started realizing how powerful they were. With the energy medicine I learned how to do, I was like, wow, this is really powerful. And I started getting afraid, like, wow, I don't want to mess with this. So, you know, like, say I like somebody and I'm in a relationship, I don't want to screw with that. So, like, you know, I don't want to do energy medicine because it might change it and it'll go away. And I came to realize, no, sweetie, everything that's true stays. It's just what's not true falls away. And so we can't be afraid to see the delusion, so that we can know the truth.
Yeah, I'm just getting this picture of all these chips of marble laying down at the foot of the statue. You know, they get swept up and thrown away. They're not, they don't contribute to the image, to the piece of art.
They have no place there.
Right.
But if we're not willing to chip away at all the extra rock that's covering up the beautiful form inside of us, we'll never get that beautiful statue of David. That never happens if we're not willing to be fearless in releasing the things that aren't true.
Well, yeah, and then the opposite side of that is that figure remains trapped inside that block of marble.
Ugh, how awful is that?
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, I just had this visceral hit that a whole bunch of listeners just went, yeah, that's me. I'm trapped in that block
yes.
of marble. Yeah.
And yeah. And the place to be is compassion, because why are you trapped in that marble? Because you're living according to a deeply entrenched lie in our society that says the source of love is outside of you in a man. Or in a relationship. That's the only
money.
Place.
Right.
Or in
right.
making money. Like, you're only going to get that from outside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lie.
So how do we,
you know, think,
access it within?
Well, we have to be with it. You know, we have to become our own best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing I learned is, like, the more I started taking actions in support of my truth, the more trust I had for myself, and the more I felt supported by myself, and the more I could open to a risk because I knew I had my own back. Like, I'm like my own best friend.
Nice, nice. That self-trust is huge. I think that has to be reestablished before a lot of other things can.
And it's a hard one for women because we've been domesticated to think that our intuition is somehow wrong, or that the emotions that flow through us are somehow wrong and need to be suppressed. And so there's a lot of society domestication that we need to get through in order to find ourselves. We really have to be fearless and say, I know I've been told a lot of lies, and I need to tune in to what's true for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as you said that, I was just flashing on, in some ways, the whole of feminine has been, we've been taught that that's wrong. Maybe that goes back to the story of Adam and Eve and eating the apple. I don't know, but it seems like the whole idea of feminine and all that that brings for eons has been not okay.
Well, and there's a lot of places people could get locked up in self-judgment around that, right? Because there's a lot of fear. It's like, there's so much fear. That this is the biggest part that sometimes I work with clients who are from very harsh, I think it's harsh, religious doctrines that kind of like tell them they're bad. They're just for being born mm-hmm. a girl, you're a bad person, you know?
Right, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have to help them. When they come to me, they're obviously looking for some help with that. And I didn't have that framework embedded in my brain. So I've kind of a blank slate on that. I'm a curious person. I can open. My grandmother certainly believed the same way because she, mm-hmm. She told me she wouldn't vote for me if I ran for president. And I asked her one time if she would vote for me if I ran for president. And she said no, because, you know, women serve men. It says so in the Bible. And I thought, wow, my grandmother wouldn't vote for me if I ran for president.
Huh. Wow.
Because I'm a girl.
Right, right. So this just speaks to why it's so important for women to find that genuine essence and stand for it, to reestablish that whole energy that the world so desperately needs.
Well, we've seen what the masculine is capable of doing, you know, mm-hmm. and the masculine and the feminine energies run through all of us. So this isn't about like men and women, but this mm-hmm. is about, you know, the masculine energy can create a lot of conflict by denying the truth of our feelings, by denying the truth of our whole being. And so the first step within yourself, if you, you know, because we have to start by changing within. We can't change the world until we change ourselves.
That's beautiful. That'd be a good bumper sticker.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
I'm sure it's been done.
So tell me, right. So tell me a little bit about what life is like for you now. As you've gleaned these things, you hit that low point, bounced back. And so what happens in your world today? How are you using all the stuff that you learned?
So today, I am in a beautiful love partnership with a man who met me doing my passion work. So I had let go of the idea of ever finding this person. I surrendered it. I realized, you know, I wasn't going to be given this gift until I was really ready to receive it. And so I just started in earnest just working on my loving myself. Loving myself was the big thing I had to do. And the closer I got to loving myself, I could feel so many wonderful things opening in my world. I developed a lot of really good conscious male partnership, friendships. And then this man walked into my fire walk, and he was everything on my list. He was everything I wanted from my heart. And the reason that he loves me is not because of what I look like. I mean, he's certainly attracted to me, but it's because of who I am and what I represent and what I do in the world and my passion and how I am of service and how I, you know, get out and speak about the things that I speak about. And those are the reasons he loved me. And, you know, this is so interesting to receive, but just last week we're engaged and we're moving in this summer and we're getting married and we had this conversation and he said, darling, you know, I want to get us moved in together because I want to help you to do the work you're meant to do in the world. I want to take all the financial pressure off of you so that you can really focus on your spiritual coaching and speaking and doing all the things you're doing because it's so important in the world, and I want to be that support for you.
Nice. That's beautiful.
And, you know, this is 6 years after my ex-husband was like, you know, can you buy me a Camaro V8 and go back to work, and maybe you could be a real estate agent if you don't want to be a tech writer, because, you know, I want money. You know, and can you lose a lot of weight? And can, you know, I mean, this is like, it's a it's a reflection of how much I've changed inside of me, because I would have never attracted this man as my foremost self. He would have never been attracted to who I was. But as the person I am today, I love, I honor myself. I'm able to be with the difficult moments within myself with compassion and love, because we all have shadows. And to love all of it brings you into a place where you can be loved for all of you. He loves all the quirky things about me that, you know, all of it. It's not just the fact that I look perfect or this or that. It's like he loves all the bumbles and the conversations where I doubt myself. And, you know, he loves all of it.
Nice. I got a big smile on my face when you said he loves all the quirky parts. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can't really be loved that way by another until we love ourselves. I really want people to hear that. It's like, you be present with your whole self.
Right, right. And it sounds like you're also moving into your work, or, you know, your sense of purpose in the world more also. I mean, the love of your life, and then also deeper into your work and purpose.
Yeah, that has really expanded vastly. I've been connected in with global thought leaders, and I'm now working on a global grassroots movement, and I'm figuring out, you know, what is what's my core message that I want to bring to the world, and how can I bring that to wake people up from, you know, being trapped inside the statue, you know, being trapped inside the rock. It's like, no, let's unleash the feminine. Let's unleash the women that are trapped inside these stuck structures that are suffocating them and telling them they're wrong or they're bad or, you know, no, we need to love ourselves. We need to be the ones that love ourselves first. And some of us need help with that.
Yeah, we sure do. We need to be, as women, helping each other, I believe. Right? It's sort of like pulling somebody up off the ground, where you reach down and you grab them and help them stand up.
And I was looking, you know, for a while I was looking, I really opening to spirit and saying, I really want to work with a group of women. I want to teach them all the things I've been learning. I want to, you know, lead groups and do this. And then out of the blue, I got invited to be the president of the Austin chapter of NAPW, which is the National Association of Professional Women. And I was like, oh, you want me to serve in this way? Okay. So
nice.
It was completely unexpected, because I'm thinking it's going to be a spiritual group. And no, it's like women stepping into their power to run their passion businesses, to, you know, to really follow their hearts with their work. And it's so great, because I'm getting to teach them what I've been learning, you know, like all the teachings I got from my mentor around not gossiping about ourselves or others, you know, stepping out of judgment, stepping into awareness, and the four agreements. You know, like I'm getting to teach all of that to these women and create a professional group that lifts up women and collaborates and lets go of this idea of competition, which is so part of the masculine energy. To go into collaboration is the feminine.
That's beautiful. So I could hear so much more about this. I'm noticing the time. We're just moving right along.
We could go on and on.
We could. I love this. It's so necessary, and I'm just loving all of these interviews I'm doing, including yours, with it seems to be taking on a flavor of feminine helping feminine, which is really interesting. But I want to let you talk about your 21-day challenge to catalyze your life. You've got some daily emails with quizzes and tools and practices. So tell us about that.
Yes. So I created a 21-day Catalyze Your Life campaign that's completely free. And when you sign up using the link that will be provided, you will get this drip campaign for 21 days, and you'll also get a discount on my book, Awakening to Me, which tells the story of all my journey and how I went through all my spiritual healing and the and it's pretty interesting because there's a lot of mystical parts of that story since I do energy healing and I've stepped into being a healer. So it's kind of an interesting story. But on the Catalyze Your Life 21-day, it has a lot of quizzes. It has reflections to do within yourself, perspective shifts, different ways of looking at things so that you can start to run experiments in your life and change up the energy and the patterns that you've been running by default so that you can open to a new possibility. You know, start stripping off that rock that's got you trapped, that's got your beautiful statue trapped inside. Start chipping away at that. And I also want to mention that I also have started a video summit, I guess is what you would call it, a regular video internet show called Soul Nectar Show. And that is weekly, and I interview spiritual thought leaders. So one of my interviews coming up soon, and I don't know when this is getting released, but is Ava Charlotte, who is the former partner of Don Miguel Ruiz. So I'm interviewing people like that to share their wisdom. It's like, how do you follow your heart? Like, how do you follow your passion? How did you connect with your essence and who you really are, like that statue underneath? How did you connect with that? And how did you get brave enough to step out and live according to that place? So that's the subject of those interviews. And they're amazing. These people are incredible. So I invite you. That's also totally free. So
Nice. Okay. It sounds like this is a message that spirit wants in the world of how to use these, how to become, how to evolve, how to stand out, how to be authentic, how to live authentic. I love it.
I love it. So, and I love what you do, Janine. It's so great. You're encouraging people to be brave and trust that, you know, when they're disintegrating inside their cocoon, you know, like the caterpillar, they're going to come out a butterfly. Just trust the process.
It just gave me shivers to think of disintegrating in the cocoon. Oh, my gosh. No. Time to evolve and fly. Yeah. Okay. Well, to everybody, we're going to have links on the summit website, this interview series website, where you can pick up Carrie's book or book for a discount or this 21-day challenge to catalyze your life. And also her contact information and anything else you'll need to know about her website, all of that. So, Carrie, thank you so much for being here. I enjoyed this just tremendously having you here. And it's so different than the last interview we did when you were still a little bit more in the divorce energy. And I'm just delighted at how light and free and happy and joyous you seem to me today. And may that give all of us hope.
Thank you, Janine, and sending you so much love for continuing to do this work in the world. I think it's so important for all the listeners to have a place to go for hope. And so thank you so much for providing one of those lighthouse beacons.
Yeah. Okay. Until next time. Bye now.
Bye.